Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
It's the Fight In. It's the Fight In. Clock. It's the Fight In. It's the Fight In. Clock.
Oh, that was really interesting, mate, yeah.
Welcome, listeners, to another episode of the Extra Inch Podcast. My name is Windy, and I'm joined by my psychic and best friend, Bardi. Hello, Bardi.
Hello, Windy.
And our tactics guy, Nathan A. Clark. Hello, Nathan.
Hey.
And we are in the midst of the run-up to the Champions League final, which still sounds ridiculous every time I say it. But we're going to give you a little preview from our perspective today. I think we've got lots to say, but I'll start off with this. Nathan, how are you feeling?
I don't know. I'm not processing it. I don't think I'll be able to acknowledge it. Maybe until after it's happened. I just... Like the notion of us being in the Champions League final, I can't grapple with it.
Yeah, I hear you. And Bardi, you're flying out to Madrid. How are you doing?
I've been okay. I've been quite busy at work, and I've had stuff to kind of occupy me. But I've had my deadline, my last deadline before I go away is done. So I think I'm going to go to work tomorrow and just do very little other than stay on Twitter and hopefully bait Arsenal fans and, you know, just look forward to the game and get continually more and more nervous.
I woke up in the middle of the night last night a couple of times thinking about the Champions League final. So that's a couple of days out still. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of mess I get myself into over the next few days.
I've had 6 days of dreams. Every night I've dreamt some version of the Champions League. I've gone from tight 1-0 wins, defeats to 4 VAR goals disallowed before half-time. I've gone through everything. But every time I wake up, I'm like, oh, thank God, it's not Saturday yet. It's not Sunday. It hasn't happened. That wasn't real. So, it's definitely on my mind.
I've had the most miserable week, right? So I've been ill for the whole bank holiday weekend and then missed a couple of days of work because I'm still not fully recovered. But I realised today, I was just reflecting on how I've been filling my time whilst being sick. And I've done it by watching Chernobyl, which I don't know if you've seen Chernobyl yet. It's really great, but it's so, so depressing. Reading The Catcher in the Rye for the first time. I don't know if you read that.
It's a terrible book.
It's just full of teenage angst and skepticism of the world around us, basically. And also listening to the Case File podcast, a particular episode about the East Area Rapist. So I was reflecting on this today thinking, what am I doing? Like, why am I not just in a complete downward spiral right now? And it's amazing that I'm not. I still feel so chilled about the Champions League final and positive about the fact that we're there. I don't have any expectation at all. And I tend to enjoy Spurs games more when there's no expectation. And I just feel so relaxed and happy and ready to enjoy it. Let's talk a little bit about Liverpool, who we're up against. I guess people are going to expect us to have some takes on them as a team. And I guess we talk a little bit first about some of their strengths. Bardi, do you want to start us off with what you see as their key strengths?
Well, of course, they replaced a goalkeeper that maybe cost them the final last year with Alisson, who at 70 million was an awful lot of money. But they've got a goalkeeper who's reliable, who's solid shot stopper, decent in the air, decent with his feet. And they've removed that kind of the chaos factor with adding someone who's quite stable. There's Alexander Arnold, who I'm sure we'll get into when Nathan talks about fullbacks. But there's not really a weakness anywhere. Perhaps Matip is a player that we can get at. But they're a great team. They've only lost I think they lost four times all season in all competitions. They're a really good team and they are the favourites, but we have some hope and hopefully we'll go into how we can beat them.
How about you, Nathan? What do you see as Liverpool's kind of key strengths?
I think rather than it being like in a particular position, I think it's the way they've developed over the last 18 months. They've really rounded out as a team. For a long time, I've had big doubts over their ability to make their style work week in, week out. But they've had a 97-point season. I don't know. They've always been brilliant in, you know, these big games, unfortunately for us. But their ability to sort of make that work for them on a Saturday at 3 p.m. Has been brilliant. And you might think, well, that's not really relevant to the Champions League final against us. But, you know, it means that we can't play like a small side. That's not really a viable means anymore of playing against Liverpool. We can't sit back like we did a couple of years ago at Wembley for a 4-1 victory. I don't think that's a viable option anymore. That's their biggest strength, is that they are rounded. They're a complete team. I think possibly the fact that if they were to lose this game, and the fact that they missed out on the title as well, means that they will likely miss out on going down as, you know, a legendary team. But I think they are one of the greatest sides football scene.
Yeah, I think that's a fair comment, that they're one of the best Premier League sides ever. This season has been spectacular for them, and they've just been pipped by the best Premier League side ever, in my opinion. And I think one thing you were saying there, Nathan, was the ability to sort of get the job done on a Saturday at 3 p.m, which was questionable before this season. And I think one of the things they've added that has really helped with that is their set piece conversion rate. So they've got 20 set piece goals this season, which is absolutely remarkable. And I think that's in part due to the delivery. So, you know, they've got consistently good set piece takers. Alexander Arnold, who Bardi's already mentioned, is one. James Milne is another. There are players there that can put in a good ball, and also lots of players that can finish, including Virgil van Dijk, who I think is one of the players of the season, if not the player of the season. I think he's fantastic. Are there any holes? Bardi's already said there aren't, but Nathan, do you think there are any holes in Liverpool? Is there anything we can cling on to as kind of an area to attack?
I think rather than their weaknesses, which I think are few and far between, it would be better to look at our particular strength, which is essentially exists in our experience against them. The fact that we've played this Liverpool side that haven't stylistically changed huge amounts is our advantage, that we know firsthand what they're like, and we know some of the more minor details, and we can prepare for that. I think also the fact that we've had, you know, this is it a 3-week gap in order to prepare specifically for this game, that's the advantage. There are stylistic things, and contrary to what I said earlier, although they have been winning those 3 p.m. games, yes, they have relied on set pieces, you're right, and it has been a bit more of a grind. They're still not creatively fluid, which means that if we have a goal in our favour, then maybe a defensive situation can work for us. But, I mean, I don't know. It's really hard to point to a weakness. I guess there's space behind the fullbacks is the simple answer.
Simple, but at the same time really complex, because you have to take a massive gamble to exploit that.
Yeah.
And that is the constant issue with Pochettino against Klopp, I guess. Bardi, I think we need to talk a little bit about how we've got on previously against Liverpool. Has anything stood out to you, good or bad, in our sort of recent matchups with them?
Well, I mean, the last game we played against, basically, we haven't had Son fully available against Liverpool this year. And I think one of the things we can do is use one of Liverpool's strengths against them. We know their fullbacks will push high, and we know there'll be space there. And I think by deploying Son from the start against them, it gives them automatically something to think about. He didn't start when we played at Wembley, and he didn't start at Anfield either. So I think just him being on the pitch will automatically force Trent Alexander-Arnold to perhaps curtail his movement forward, and the option to push him on the other side up against Robertson. So there is a possibility there to hit him on the break. When Liverpool have lost this season against Chelsea, at home in the League Cup, against Napoli away, it was late goals there as well. So There's plenty still to be hopeful for. Liverpool are a great team, but great teams get beaten all the time in finals. This isn't a walkover for them. So there's some hope there. If Winks is fit, I'd like to see Winks and Sissoko playing. And I don't want to see... I'm a big advocate for three at the back, but I think we have to go back four for this game. When we started with three at the back at Anfield, there was big gaps in between Rose and and I think it was Alderweireld on the right, and they exposed that. And there was uncertainty dealing with crosses. So I'd like to see a back four. But there's still a lot there to be hopeful for.
Nathan, you've been writing this week about some of the matches that Pochettino's had against Klopp, and you stumbled. I mean, you made a really. Have you published the article yet?
No, but it should be out before this podcast, so you're free to talk about it.
Cool. Okay, because we've seen the draft, and I thought it was great. I really enjoyed it, and you made a point that I totally missed, which is that Pochettino's perhaps been taking a kind of long term approach to how he beats Liverpool. Do you want to expand a little bit on that and give us your thesis?
Yeah. So there's sort of an element to the article which acts as an apology from myself to Pochettino, which is that I and we all did, but we all criticised him very heavily for continuing to play a possession game against Liverpool, and that seems like such an obviously poor decision. But as I was mentioning earlier, now it looks like that's the only way, because the defensive game plan, eventually Liverpool are going to either through a set piece or just by grinding away, they're going to break you down. And you can't just play a long ball over the top because they don't have Dejan Lovren starting there anymore. So the fact that Pochettino's continued to force his game and say, look, we can make this work. If we're brave, if we're at our best, if we make the right tweaks, we can play a possession game against Liverpool. And he's been saying that for years. I think that is becoming true at just the right time. I think if you look at our most recent game, I think the best 45-minute spell, aside from the 4-1 at Wembley, but the best 45-minute spell of our own possession has come in the most recent 45 minutes against Liverpool, when we played a very odd asymmetrical shape with a left back and a left wing back at the same time. That's the kind of level that of tweaks that you need to find, that you need to make. And that's not something that you stumble across quickly, obviously. I think not just that game, but over the last three games, there's been some interesting tweaks, some interesting, really minute detail stuff, but it's a minute detail that can really swing a game and change things dramatically. You know, the use of Dele as a 10, which hopefully is what we're going to see, or something along those lines, the use of asymmetry, use of doubling and tripling up in wide areas, things like that.
It's a perfect point to come on to the next section, which is how we think we might set up for this game. And Bardi, you've said there no for three at the back.
Yeah.
Nathan, you kind of said the tweaks and the asymmetry might be a good thing. So how do we manage? I mean, I think I'm siding with Bardi in terms of I don't think we can afford to take out another attacking player to add another centre back and play Davinson as well, or Foyth, as well as Vertonghen and Alderweireld. But how do you find those tactical quirks, if you like, without doing something odd like that? Nathan, what do you think we'll do tactically?
Well, yeah, firstly on three at the back, we've only played three at the back against them, I think, that one time in the most recent game, and it started off okay, but then they found a way to make our defence a flat back five, and when you do that, there's space outside of the midfield. So we saw Alexander-Arnold put the cross in for Firmino. So the three at the back isn't the right shape, or doesn't seem to be at least the right shape for Liverpool. So yeah, I think it will be a four at the back. I think the 11 is fairly obvious. I think, you know, it's going to be Vertonghen if he's fit, and if not, Davinson. It's going to be Winks if he's fit, and if not, it's going to be Wanyama. It's going to be Kane if he's fit, and if not, Lucas and Son together. And yeah, I think we're probably looking at a diamond, or maybe a 4-2-2-2, or maybe that same 11 again, but a 4-2-3-1. I think that we can do a lot of preparation, we can look over a lot of tape, but the tweaks, we're not likely to start with the solution. Liverpool are likely to start strong, and it's a matter of then, again, looking at those details, looking at what the different things we prepared, looking at the options we have, and tweaking things afterwards. So yeah, asymmetry could well be it. Something especially narrow with wide movements could well be it. I think we start our best 11, but we don't commit to it. We say, look, if we've got to make a change at 20 minutes to make this work, that's what we do.
we'll come back to that. I think that you, that's a really interesting point you just made about not starting with the right 11, as it were. Bardi, I've got a couple of things I want to ask you. Firstly, you previously said in a pod a couple of weeks back, you didn't think Kane should start. Do you still stand by that?
No. I think maybe at the time I was still carried away from the Ajax result, but if Kane is fit, Kane starts. He gives us what Llorente gives us, but he gives us even more than that. He drops deep, he gets involved, he can go over the top as well. And if Kane is fit, Kane starts. There's no doubt about it. And it's how we use the players around him. As Nathan says, it's going to be quite. We're going to have to change our approach. I think a lot of the time we might see the ball kind of moved into Eriksen, and he'll look for the quick ball out wide to Son, either left or right. Or we might go direct into Kane a few times. I think Liverpool's press and whatever midfield trio they play, there's an intensity there that we can't live with. And we're going to have to accept the fact that we're going to lose the ball sometimes in dangerous places. But the risk and reward is so great if Sissoko manages to break through that midfield like he did a couple of times against Ajax. All of a sudden, I think genuinely they're in the shit if that happens. So I think it's going to need a few players to be brave, which is why I really hope Winks is good to play.
Yeah, I'm fully with you on that one.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The other thing I wanted to ask you, we had a question from Darren Weatherall, who said Trippier or Aurier at right back. And I think that kind of stems from some of the previous encounters that Trippier's had against Sadio Mane. What do you think, Bardi? You've got a difficult decision there. Pochettino has previously been very loyal to Trippier throughout what's been a rough season for him. Plus, Aurier's only just back from injury. What would you do? What do you expect Pochettino to do?
I think Trippier starts. I think even though he's can be inept, he does offer us something. Michael Cox, who's got a new book coming out, wrote today. He did a tactical analysis of our game versus Ajax, and he did a whole paragraph on right back issues. And he started it by talking about how bad Trippier was, but then he started talking about when Trippier had someone to look for and an out ball, how he suddenly became quite important. And even though he's had a bad season, even though he's a terrible player, I think he starts. And I think it's basically, we know Trippier, we don't know Aurier. And I don't think now is the time to gamble on Aurier in the Champions League final.
And Nathan, I'll ask you this one. Bardi's already said that he thinks Son should start to try and exploit the space behind fullbacks. Presumably then that means that Lucas is on the bench. How do you feel about that, Nathan?
I'd actually have them the other way around. I think that, as we talked about before, they're both quite streaky players. I think that last time we were playing, that Lucas was on and Son was off. And I think that you carry on from that point. I think Son is such a brilliant player to be able to bring off the bench. And again, I do think we should be looking to the bench fairly early. So I don't think there's any big worry about excluding Son in that regard. So I would start Kane and Lucas probably as a front two with Son.
Oh my God. There's like 10,000 South Koreans going to Madrid. they're gonna riot.
He'll come on. He's the first player off the bench for so many circumstances. And I can also see the game going to 120 minutes. So I think he'll play even if he doesn't start.
I know what you mean, but I think Lucas has had a decent impact off the bench, and I just think Son is a big game player, and it's not romantic. If I was going for romantic reasons, I would say start Lucas after everything that he'd done. But I just think you have to start Son. He's our player of the year. He's been our, other than Kane, our best attacking threat consistently through the year. And I think we have to start with Son and Kane.
Oh, it's such a tricky one. I really wouldn't want to be the one making that decision. I don't envy Pochettino at all with that call, because it could make such a difference either way.
I think, go on, don't sit on the fence then. Go on.
I mean, I would probably pick Lucas, and I think Pochettino will pick Son. But I, The thing is with Son, when he's good, he's so good. But he's had a tough end to the season, and I think that's, you know, we spoke about it in the last podcast, it's through no fault of his own. He's played a lot of minutes this season, not just for us, but for his country as well. And, you know, maybe the three-week break would have done him good. Maybe it would have freshened him up a bit and there'll be something in his legs. But, yeah, I mean, Lucas got a hat-trick in the semi. What more could you have asked for from him? So does Poch go with meritocracy? Who knows?
Just my final point on Son. I think Son is the better player. I think he's had 3 weeks off. I think Son should start for those reasons. But Lucas needs to be warming up the whole time, letting Son know that... That's the easy swap to do.
Yeah, yeah.
If it's not happening, he's off. I think even if Dele's having an awful game, he has to remain on the pitch because he's one of the few players who, with a flick of the boot, can set somebody away and just create something.
Yeah, you're so right there. And I think you're right. There's no room for sentimentality in the Champions League final. This is the time where that's absolutely off the table. It's just difficult, isn't it? I mean, a lot of these players won't ever be in this position again. So it's a really big call to make. I suppose the other thing to note is we do have genuine bench options. I mean, not least because there are 12 substitutes in the Champions League final. But we've got Llorente, who's now, I would say, a proven plan B as this season's gone. Nathan, we've spoken a bit about the impact he's had in Europe, presumably because he's kind of a more traditional English centre-forward. Is that negated as such because he'll be up against Van Dijk?
Possibly with Van Dijk, but the thing with the target man is that he chooses which centre back he wants to go up against, so he can go up against Matip, which is slightly more favourable. But I think I'm not going to say that he doesn't have a value, because if you look at the 2-2 when he came on and helped win a penalty and all of the rest of that, he did have a purpose. But I think generally playing long against Liverpool doesn't work, because they turn that into a situation, they turn that into the chaos that they thrive in. They'll win the second ball and then they'll play long as you're pushing up to chase the initial ball, and that's how they catch you out. So I don't think he's likely to be the answer, but I wouldn't rule it out. If we can take control of the game, which I think we likely will do towards the end, if we can push Liverpool back into their own half and control them and use our own pressing to push them back, then that might be the time to bring Llorente on.
I think the use of substitutes is going to be so crucial, especially if it's a close game and we don't know whether it will go to extra time, because we'll have players who are returning from injury and won't be fully fit and able to play 120 minutes. So Pochettino is going to have to really earn his money in this one. Okay, let's move on to some questions. And we've covered some of this already, but I think it's useful to kind of crystallise our thoughts. So Joshua Brown says, what's the best shape to limit Trent Alexander-Arnold and Robertson's involvement in the game? He was at Anfield early this season and there was a period in the first half where they were relentless and we couldn't cope. So we said already that we think pushing them back is one way of limiting their influence. But Nathan, what's the kind of defensive tactic in terms of how do we stop them?
So definitely a back four, I think, as we discussed before. If you play the back three, they make it a five and there's space in front of the defence. So, but I think Pochettino likes to use only two players in wide areas. He likes to have one player on each wing and everyone else plays in the middle. And that normally works really, really well. But I think when it comes to Liverpool, you have to find a way to double up out wide, because they're so aggressive with those fullbacks. They're so aggressive with their wingers, that your fullback, especially when they're, you know, the Trippier and possibly if they're Davies or whatever, they can sort of, really get bullied. So you have to, double up, but you also don't want to narrow out midfield, so you have to use clever movements. You have to start narrow and burst wide, or start wide and come in narrow and stuff like that. So there isn't a shape. It's about movement and changing and doubling and tripling.
CD Warblegler, who is at _CDW_, says, do Liverpool use a man, zonal or mix when defending corners? And are Spurs likely to tailor their delivery based on Liverpool's defensive setup, or just keep going near post as if they are always man marking? So, I mean, I've noticed across the season that Liverpool have tended to have a man on each post. They then have three, sometimes four on the edge, marking zone, and then they have man-to-man marking as well on top of that to kind of block off runners. So that I think that's fairly standard now. That's not an unusual tactic. That's kind of what most Premier League teams would do, except perhaps the man on each post. Normally, most teams go one man on the post, one man on one post, leaving the other area for the goalkeeper to cover. Bardi, what do you think this is an area we can take advantage of? Liverpool had a particular weakness under Klopp when he first came in. They were suspect at set pieces. That's kind of been fixed to a degree with Van Dijk and Alisson coming in, but do you think this is an area where we can take advantage?
I don't know. It's maybe not from corners. You know, Van Dijk and Alisson are solid. We cut them apart at Anfield with a quick free kick from Kane. I'm not sure, to be honest with you. Our corners have been hit and miss all season. I don't know whether set pieces are the key to unlock Liverpool. I definitely think taking free kicks quickly and trying to catch them on the hop as often as possible is probably the best tactic.
Kind of what they did to Barcelona.
Yeah, exactly. They will disrupt play and stop us counter-attacking, bringing fouls down. And it's a question of don't let them get set, move the ball as quickly as possible.
And Nathan, final one I'm going to ask you. What do you see the pattern of the game being?
I think Liverpool will start strong, and I think that we will have to adapt to that. I think that they've shown some tendency to fade late. You mentioned earlier late goals. I don't know if that is so much stylistic as fitness, and maybe the break means that's lesser in play, but I think the Pochettino will adapt. I think what the most likely pattern is that Liverpool will have the first half and we'll have the second, and if it's equal after that, then it may well go to penalties, which is a terrifying prospect.
Yeah, in the two league games, there's definitely been the last 15, 20 minutes of both matches, even though we lost with a last minute own goal, we've definitely had the upper hand. Yeah. So if we're still in the game with 15, 20 minutes to go, I have faith that we might do something. But I definitely agree with Nathan. They're going to come flying at us, like kind of like what Man City did. And it's up to us to come to stand firm, because against Ajax, home and away, and against City away, we crumbled in those first few minutes. We have to start strong. We have to do that.
And we've done a lot of tactics and analysis there. We're going to end with a bit of passion. So Spurs in Barcelona, who is a remarkably shady, questionable character, he says, Poch gives you 2 minutes in the changing room to give the lads a team talk before the game. What do you tell them? Bardi, over to you.
What would you say? I'd just say, this is my life. This is my entire existence is tied up in this game, because I've devoted my life, like many of us have, to this club, and this club hurts me all the time and it hurts all of us. But if we win this game, it raises everything, and all of a sudden we're reborn and we're Tottenham Hotspur Champions League winners. And that's something that nobody expected. And these guys have the opportunity to become fucking legends. Sure, proper legends. You know how much we worship like Jimmy Greaves and Paul Gascoigne and all these guys. Can you imagine Harry Kane, what this person becomes if he wins this game, and all of them? It would be monumentally life-changing for millions of Spurs fans around the world. It would change my life, and it would change everybody else's.
Beautiful. Nathan, anything you'd like to add?
I don't know how I'm going to top that, but I do have a two-minute video I can show them of them working the ball around Liverpool, pushing them back into their own half, squeezing them in and controlling the game.
Love it. I love it. Nathan goes in with his iPad to show them. That's it. They've never changed, Nathan.
Beautiful. Guys, you've summed it up beautifully. I feel like I can't add anything to what Bardi said there. I think you've absolutely nailed it. This is a life-changing opportunity for all of those players. And I think the important thing for them to remember is they might never get this opportunity again. They've just got to leave absolutely everything on the pitch. And that doesn't mean to say throw themselves into every tackle and just run around like headless chickens. That's to say, if ever there was a time to focus and do the job that you've been asked to do by your manager and to trust that manager, this is the moment. Just regardless of what's gone before, this is a one-off game against 11 individuals. Yes, they're very good individuals, but if you follow your manager's tactical instructions to the letter, you make right decisions 9 times out of 10, 9.5 times out of 10, then you give yourself a chance. And if you win this game, then that's it. you've completed football, you've completed your career, basically. It doesn't get any better, and you can just retire and play Uno for the rest of your life.
I mean, this Champions League run has been culture shifting. If you go back to the Inter game, where we went 1-0 up through a deflected goal, and then Icardi and last minute winner, and it's just like typical Spurs. And then the Barcelona's fire, fair enough, they put us away. But then the PSV game, Lloris gets sent off, and it's just like, this is normal Spurs. And then all of a sudden, something shifted in us. We scored two last-minute goals against PSV, one of which kind of bumbled in. And from that moment on, the belief in this team and the Spursiness of us in the Champions League anyway kind of evaporated. And we stood up against a Dortmund team. We took on Manchester City, who absolutely destroyed the Premier League, and we beat them over two legs. It's not a one-off game. Over 290 minutes, we saw them off. And then we did the same with everybody's darlings, Ajax. So this final game, it's very few moments in life you have the chance to change the culture and everything associated with your club. But we have that now. And, you know, I'm a Spurs fan. I believe we can do it. And it would just be an incredible moment if it happens.
It really does feel like the planets have aligned during our Champions League run this season. I mean, we've been pretty poor in the last half of the season in the league, but the Champions League's kind of gone our way at every possible turn these past few games. And, you know, Poch is a believer in universal energy, and I'm sure that will come out in the team talk pre-match. There'll be something about something karmic, something's happening that is intangible, and he won't be able to describe, but he'll just say, this is our time. You know, this is our time to do something. Oh,
amen.
God. It's exciting. Listen, we'll leave it there. I'm sure I'll see some of our listeners at the Fighting Cock Social. I cannot wait for Saturday afternoon. I'm looking forward to having a few beers. Hopefully trying to relax before kickoff. And then just all being together for that moment. Bardi, I want to wish you very safe travels in Madrid. I hope you have an awesome trip, but do stay safe. God's sake.
I'll try.
Have you got travel insurance?
No, don't think so.
Mate, I'll buy you travel insurance. We need you back. Nathan, hope you enjoy it. Wherever you end up watching it, I hope you enjoy it.
Please, Tottenham, please.
Please, please. Thank you, guys. Great speaking to you.
Oh, my God, my heart is racing.
It's the fighting. Clock. It's the fighting. It's the fighting. Clock.
Oh, that was really interesting, mate, yeah.